irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, every Friday live, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles, at the country's and world's most irreverent, entertaining, cool talk radio station. And as always, I have a fabulous guest today, an expert. We're talking about being bullied in the workplace. What are bullies? And, you know, it's interesting because a question that I commonly hear from patients who come for me to help is, how can I better cope with my stress from my crazy boss or my uncomfortable workplace and my odd coworkers? I hear this all the time. So I try to give them some tools, you know, to use and the communication skills as well. But sometimes we are trapped in a situation. We can't just jump out of our jobs. And some of the people are brown-nosing the boss, who is a bully. So we're going to be talking about that and a lot more today here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. I invite you all to call in if you have any questions for my special guest, who I will introduce in just a bit. Questions or comments right here on LA Talk Radio. Number 310-323-2805. All right? 310-323-2805. Give us a call live if you have any questions or comments. Otherwise, you can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And a lot of times I do get to emails a lot sooner because they're kind of relevant to the role of the conversation that I have with my special guest. So, you know, I hear a lot of people every day, as I was saying, express to me that they don't want to brown nose their boss, who's a jerk or a bully, you know, but they don't know what to say to him or her when they humiliate them or talk down to them. So let me ask you guys some questions out there. Is your workplace psychologically safe? Now, you got to think about these things, okay? Have you been bullied or coerced or harassed or threatened by management or coworkers? Well, here's some shocking facts about the current state of a lot of workplaces. According to a recent Gallup poll, more than 70% of North American workers are not engaged or interested in working that much. Why? Well, I believe my guest today, and he'll elaborate on this, says that this is because employees don't respect or trust their bosses or organizations, and that they spend much of their waking hours living in fear. It's kind of scary, huh? And some other kind of scary research results. A recent Harvard study reports that more than 120,000 deaths annually may be because of workplace stress. Another fact, 2 in 3 people experience bullying at work, either directly or indirectly. What? Why is this happening? Well, today you're going to find out as I talk to one of my favorite guests, who's a recurring guest, and he's amazing. His name is Andrew Foss, and of course, he was on the show before. We talked about his other books, which have to do with bullying in the workplace. He's an author, philanthropist, management advisor, promoting psychologically healthy, safe, and fair workplaces. And He also led some of Canada's largest corporations for over three decades as a senior executive. He founded the Foss Foundation, which supports nonprofit organizations concerned with workplace well-being. And, of course, he's currently partnering with the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence on a groundbreaking initiative. It's called Emotion Revolution in the Workplace. Huh? Emotion? What a concept. That will revolutionize, you know, a lot of things that are going on. And, of course, he's partnered with the Mental Health America in the overall initiative to promote psychologically healthy, safe, and fair workplaces. And there are a lot more accolades for Andrew, but I just want to get him on the air here. Thanks so much for being on the show, as always, Andrew.
Well, thanks, Michelle. It's great to be back and help on the debate and discussion on an area or topic that's been largely under the radar for a long time.
Boy, has it ever. And you've been great in the movement to helping organizations, like you said, for over 30 years. You're super. So I was blown away when I read your story. Now, since we last read your book, The Bully's Trap, you were on the air almost a year ago, exactly, to share some stuff with us about that book, which, by the way, you guys need to pick up as well. But since that time, I mean, right, you and I have experienced and seen a lot more examples of psychologically unsafe workplaces, like, Wells Fargo, right? And Amazon and Volkswagen, and right? There's been a lot of...
And the list goes on.
Yes, it sure does. So, first off, can you just share with us your story? It's like that 18-month period where you went through, quote, sheer hell at your workplace, unquote. So can you just talk about that? I couldn't believe that. It was amazing.
Sure, and I'll put it in context with my period before the bullying, before I was targeted.
Okay.
And that is very briefly, when I was 26, a young manager, and I was called out for being a bully.
What?
Because I thought that was the way one had to advance.
Okay.
And I was told in kind of no uncertain terms, well, if that's the way you're going to be, you're not going to last long here.
Yeah.
And it proved to be one of the best pieces of advice or lessons I got. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for me, it was at a young age. Throughout my career, I actually put into practice what I'm now advocating in creating psychologically safe, healthy, and fair workplaces. Mm-hmm. And I would add productive to that list as well. But late in my career, I blew the whistle on a corrupt executive.
Wow.
The board of directors were afraid to deal with him because he was bullying them.
Mm-hmm.
I allowed the board to use my name, mm-hmm. and when they did talk to him about it, and the fact that they didn't deal with it at the time, I became a target for this executive.
Wow.
And like I say in the book, I went through 18 months of sheer hell. It caused me a lot of mental stress. I went through symptoms consistent with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yep.
I lost over 30 pounds.
Wow.
I had a serious case of shingles, and it just ate me up.
Wow.
And what I went through was, characteristic of what a lot of whistleblowers go through,
mm-hmm.
or people who are being retaliated go through,
mm-hmm.
maybe a more extreme in my situation, but my phones were tapped, my emails were hacked into, I had a private detective shadow me.
Wow.
I was shunned by my peers.
Right.
I was blacklisted in the business community.
My goodness.
And interesting is that I ended up resolving it to my satisfaction.
Good.
But I could still not find closure.
Right.
And after the, well after the fact. Mm-hmm. And that for me, you know, is not very typical because I'm very, I'm a positive thinker. And I try to put shed light on, try to put a positive slant on almost everything.
Right.
But that's how post-traumatic stress disorder works.
Boy, it sure does.
It doesn't go away.
And I also understand, I'm so sorry, you received
ahead.
A death threat at this time as well.
And I received a death threat.
Jeez.
So it... No, it was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
So for 3 months, I languished in self-pity and wanting revenge.
Sure.
And I had an awakening and intervention with people who challenged me on my negativity.
Right.
And that was great because it helped me to understand what I should do about shifting that negative energy into something positive.
Good for you.
And the something positive is opening a debate on this topic.
Right.
And on the basis that I'm providing a unique perspective. I used to be a bully.
Right.
I spent the bulk of my career creating psychologically healthy, fair, and safe and productive workplaces.
Right.
And I was targeted.
Mm-hmm.
So what better topic
to
focus on?
Exactly.
And I started by doing a lot of research. And what I found is that, you know, people really don't understand what bullying in the workplace really is.
Right.
And they associate it with school bullying. And yes, well,
exactly.
There are similarities. There are many, many differences.
Mm-hmm.
And bullying in the workplace is far more subtle. It's more. It's more, and it's more complex.
Mm-hmm. So how do you define that? How do you define a bully and their tactics that they use? I mean, you just explained what they did to you, but what are some of your definitions?
Well, definition of the bully, for one thing, or being bullied, is actions and behaviors that are meant to harm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's not an individual situation where somebody, a boss, blows up because they're not hearing what they want to hear.
Right.
And everybody's human, and I do that. I've got great days. I've got some situations.
Yeah. Don't we all?
I don't want to hear that.
Exactly, Andrew. Exactly.
But bullying in the workplace manifests itself, and like I say, it's usually very discreet, where... once a person is targeted, they are set up to fail and be discredited.
Right, exactly.
And my first book, The Bully's Trap, is called The Bully's Trap because most people who are targeted fall into the bully's trap, which is basically the bully turning the target into what he or she wants them to become, which is a bad performer with a bad attitude.
Right. Right.
And it's very understandable when you're attacked and constantly harassed and shunned by fellow workers or employees, and you're not getting information you need to get to do your job. You're not being invited to attend meetings you should attend. You're constantly being emailed and replies are expected immediately. You're constantly badgered and negative is accentuated by the positives. You're going to be that bad employee with a bad attitude.
Right. Wow, that is so true. And like you said, a lot of people live in fear because of these situations going on in these environments all the time.
Well, it's unfortunate because, you know, I believe that well over half the North American worker is living in fear.
Man.
And a lot of the fear is systemic.
Right, right.
And if you, I'll use Wells Fargo as a perfect example.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not only were these people forced into achieving unreasonable results, they were also the organization also tried to make them scapegoats.
Yep.
By firing them, and if they didn't get fired for doing it, they got fired for not doing it.
Yes.
And a lot of people say, well, why wasn't this uncovered earlier? And my response to it, based on what I know in that situation, is that many people tried to do something about it, but were retaliated against.
Right. Exactly.
So others in the organization saw this, and to survive, you just played that game.
Yep. And that's what people have to do to get their paychecks.
And people have, well, that's like somebody who was interviewed by, I think it was CNN, that just came out and said, well, why did, you know, the reporter said, well, why did you do this? And he said, well, I have to feed my family.
Yes, yes, that's exactly
right. And that's
right. That's exactly right.
And it's exactly right. And, you know, I hear, you know, I hear advice that that a lot of people get who are targeted to say, well, just quit.
Yep.
Well, you know, if you're married, have two kids, two dogs, and a mortgage, and a house that's underwater, and no prospects, you can't just get out.
No. Easy to say.
And easy to say. So what really has to happen is, yes, people need coping skills. But more importantly, people need methods by which they can influence positive change in their organization where that just doesn't occur.
Exactly. No, I totally agree.
And that is some that is what we are working on with the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence.
That's terrific. Everybody needs those kind of organizations.
It adds an academic element.
Yes.
To you know, a very practical, everyday issue.
Yes.
And dynamic workplace.
Right. Right.
But what, and the reason it, you know, it's going to be grounded, you know, in academics.
Right.
It's not going to be theoretical. And there is a difference.
Yes, there totally is.
What we want to do is truly understand how people feel about the work that they do, i.e. the tasks, the relationships they have at work, and how they feel about the organization itself.
Right.
But more importantly, really getting a deep understanding as to why they feel the way they do.
That's really
good.
And
one of the things we kind of know already, based on, you know, just some preliminary work we've done and prototype projects, is that one of the biggest stress factors or negative unnecessary stress factors in the workplace is how people are assessed.
Right. I mean, that's exactly right.
And, you know, it's more crucial today than ever because people, you know, there is a churn of people.
Yes. Yeah.
Where turnover is considered a good thing.
Yeah.
And good economics.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's a debate for another day, but, you know, those who espouse that, you know, in my view, are dealing with false economics.
Exactly. Well, that's what's going on.
But people understand that, yes, there are market factors that are at play and that could negatively affect employment.
Right. It sure can. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here and my special guest today. He's been on before. He's a great comeback guest, Andrew Foss. He is... an author, philanthropist, management advisor promoting psychologically healthy, safe, and fair workplaces. He's working in many environments and has been with many large corporations for over three decades as a senior executive. He's also partnering with the Yale Center of Emotional Intelligence on a groundbreaking initiative called Emotion Revolution in the Workplace. And, of course, we were just talking about his partnering with the Mental Health America initiative to promote psychologically healthy, safe, and fair workplaces. And what I want listeners to do, maybe, Andrew, is sort of kind of, if they're a little confused, to try to identify the kind of a company that they're working for, like you call the culture. And you say that there are three types of cultures in the workplace. So can you sort of describe what they mean so people can say, aha, that's what I'm working for?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, first let's define culture.
Yeah.
And my definition of culture is everything an organization does.
Right.
You know, it's how it's set up, it's how it's governed, it's how it's organized, it's how they hire up promote, how they make decisions, yeah, how they communicate. And all of this has to be aligned to a certain value or principle.
Mm-hmm.
And values and principles. And if it's not, it's usually not a great culture.
Right.
But there are three distinct types. And the first one is a dictatorial culture.
Right.
And if people want to know, you know, in the first chapter in my book, and I don't want to get political here because I don't think it's the place to get political.
That's okay. You can do that.
It is. But it is the shortest chapter in the book, and I think the shortest chapter on record. And it's the word Trump.
Right.
And I don't think I need to say any more because you know, he defines a bully.
Mm-hmm.
and we see, unfortunately, we're seeing every day how he operates.
Right.
And if there is a organization that has a autocratic boss,
mm-hmm,
then even those that may be benevolent,
right?
Because you have that as well. Yeah. Benevolent dictators.
Yeah, sure.
When things go right, everything is good.
Right.
But once something goes wrong, watch out.
Uh huh. Right.
The second is a disjointed culture.
Mm-hmm.
And a disjointed culture is a kind of a loose federation of companies and or divisions,
right,
each with their own culture.
Uh-huh.
And they're not grounded in, or their base is really not a common culture where there are consistencies in the way they do the things I described.
Right.
And the Catholic Church is the example I use in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I use it is that I believe that Pope Francis is genuinely trying to change that culture, which is taking away power and control from the cardinals.
Uh-huh, right? That's right.
And he is realizing that is not something that can be people can reach consensus on.
Yes. Yes.
But the organization is kind of all over the place relative to how it does things.
Yeah.
And it really shows, you know, when issues like the abuse,
right,
come out, and how the various branches of the church have handled that.
Wow, and that's very disjointed, as you say, disjointed culture.
Disjointed.
Uh huh.
And the third is a stable. Culture,
yeah,
where you know, everything is grounded by a set of core values and principles.
Yep.
And there is consistency applied in terms of everything an organization does.
Yeah.
And there is a common focus.
Yeah.
So I come from retail, and I've always developed cultures that are customer focused.
Uh-huh.
And in order to be customer focused, you have to be employee focused.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll use Wells Fargo as the example again. They are desperately trying to win the loyalty and trust back from their customers.
Yeah.
And unless they do something very dramatic, they're going to fail at that.
Yes.
And the approach I recommend with them is the approach I give, you know, people or executives all the time, is if you're going to be a customer-centric organization and want loyalty from your customers, the people that are really going to be doing that are your employees.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So the question to them is, do you have the trust and respect of your employees?
Right. Right.
And if you don't, they're not going to be ambassadors for you.
That's exactly right.
And they could indeed sabotage you.
Right. They sure could.
So,
yeah.
So the key is to, you know, start off by ensuring that you win their respect and loyalty and trust.
Yes. How do we
and
do
that's
that?
A pretty tough thing for organizations to follow.
Exactly.
Because one of the things, dynamics that has taken place over the last 20 years is when short-termism has taken over.
Right.
And one of the first things organizations do is they announce a layoff.
Yes, exactly.
That satisfies the shareholder.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, when I go through their values and beliefs and mission statements and all of the other human resource gobbledygook that's usually out there.
Right.
Is that we want our employees to be loyal.
We sure do. So it's so, like a cycle.
The question the thing you have to do, you know, the whole concept of a social covenant is no longer there.
And no, it's gone.
And in order for you to, and this would be the advice I would give to Wells Fargo, you know, one of the things you have to do is to regain the trust and loyalty, is you have to enter into a social covenant with them.
Right, you have to.
Where if you want their loyalty,
mm-hmm.
they expect a ethic of reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's hard to get.
what amazes me,
yeah.
And you know, and I'm very passionate about it to the point, you know, some people view me as being overly negative.
Right.
What I see is so many negatives out there relative to people not, and particularly leaders,
mm-hmm. yeah.
not practicing and applying what we all learned in kindergarten. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. It's not complicated.
Right.
It resonates with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it unfortunately is so rarely applied.
Yeah, it is.
One example where it was applied is with the political Darth Vader of the U.S., Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
He became a gay rights activist.
Yes, he sure did.
And why?
Because of his daughter,
because
I believe.
He,
yeah,
he understood.
Yes.
What his daughter was going through.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And, you know, and that, you know, I'm finding, you know, in my discussions with leadership, mm-hmm. it resonates the most. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that we all have to be reminded of, mm-hmm. is, you know, when we, you know, everybody has their inherent biases and perspectives on how to deal with situations and people. But if you can just say, well, wait a minute. If I were in that person's shoes, mm-hmm. what are I behind their eyeballs?
Right.
How would I want to be treated?
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's yeah. you know, again, I'm kind of ashamed to espouse it because it's so basic.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of us don't. We're not able to sort of look at that perspective because we're always trying to, you know, save our own butts. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way it usually goes, Andrew? Hello? Hello? Uh-oh, where did Andrew go?
Hello?
I think we just lost Andrew here on our Skype. Hold on one sec. Andrew, are you still there? Hello, Andrew? Hello, hello? There you are. Can you hear me okay, Andrew? All righty, I think we're having a little bit of a problem with our signal. All right, we may have a caller on the line here. Hi, who's this? Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Dr. Michelle?
Yes, hi. Who's this?
Hi, this is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, I was complaining about my landline, but this one is no better.
That's exactly right. We have another caller on the line, actually. I think that might have knocked us off the air, you and I, so we're going to
That happens every once in a while.
You know, every once in a while. We're going to try to have that caller join us live here so we can get a question from him and see what he might have to say. Seems like he has a question for you and has been listening to the show here on LA Talk Radio. Do you mind if we take this call, Andrew?
Oh, no, by
okay,
all means.
Okay, hi. Let's see. We're going to try to resume this call. Hi there. Are you on the line with Dr. Michelle? Who's this? Okay, I think this fact that we pulled you back up again knocked that guy off. That's okay. What we're going to...
Okay.
We're just resuming our talk here. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, I'm talking to Andrew Foss. He's an author, philanthropist, management advisor, promoting psychologically healthy, safe, and fair workplaces. And he's worked as a senior executive in large corporations for over 30 years. He's working right now with the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence about the emotional revolution in the workplace. And, of course, he's written his latest book, which is it's really a good read, to sort of identify what kind of workplace you might be in and how to cope with it. The book's called From Bully to Bullseye, Move Your Organization Out of the Line of Fire. All right. Now, let's see if we can pull up that listener on the air. See if they're... Nope, they're gone.
Right.
Okay. We're not going to do that. They're gone. Okay.
Okay.
And, all right, guys. So if you would like to email me, if you have a question, please do so. It's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. That might be better because we can get through without a call on the air here that might knock Andrew off the line. So we don't want to do that. But we're moving along talking about... You know, cultures we discussed in organizations and how to sort of identify what kind of culture you might be in, what bullies act like, and to just sort of double check to see if you're being bullied. I do have an email. Let me just double check here from someone. All right. And this is from Cliff. And shall we go ahead and tackle this one, Andrew?
Sure.
All right. He says, thanks for this topic. I need help now. I've been working for this financial company for 2 years. My work has been praised, and I've gotten good reviews. This week, however, my boss tells me that management has decided, quote, I'm not a good fit, unquote. I have had meetings with management. No one will tell me why I'm not a good fit. They haven't given me an end date. What should I do? That's a good question. Thank you so much, Cliff, for emailing us with that. hey, Andrew, this is all yours.
Well, it's unfortunately, it ties right back to what I talked about a bit earlier,
yeah,
in terms of the number one unnecessary stress factors, how people are assessed.
Right.
And if people are, and it sounds like person who emailed in,
mm-hmm,
was targeted and,
yep,
is being let go for reasons other than performance.
Right. And what does that mean? You're not a good fit. I mean, you know, I would be confused.
And not a good fit, you know, is just a term used by human resources,
mm-hmm,
to cover everything from the way you parted your hair to the last comment you made to your boss.
Right. So it's a cop out. It's a cop out, and
it is a cop out.
And these would be illegal reasons, maybe.
Yes, and you know, in this case, you know, I would recommend that mm-hmm, he go to an employment lawyer,
mm-hmm,
to get some advice. It's difficult to really provide advice without knowing a lot more of the background.
Right.
And by providing somebody who goes through this almost every day, you know, is the best way to do it. The other approach I always tell people is go to somebody that you trust in the organization.
Right. Right.
And strategize with that person. What you should do.
Right.
The other thing that I've and I'm doing a fair bit of research on, mm-hmm, is at will environments.
Right.
And that means people can be fired for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
Other
mm-hmm.
than discrimination,
mm-hmm.
It is a tough situation, and I've talked to many, many people in that situation, and people who are reminded every day that we could fire you anytime.
Yes, but there has to be reason for that.
when they may be protected by
right.
by discrimination laws.
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, they're useless because
exactly.
You could be black or gay or
right.
From another ethnic background,
right.
And they could use the same excuse that is being used in the writer's case where
right.
you're just not a good fit,
right?
Or
exactly.
You have an attitude. And
exactly.
And the other thing is, it's very likely, you know, in this case as well,
mm-hmm.
that there were indicators that this could happen.
Yes.
So, you know, the advice I would give people is to go back and tie seemingly unrelated comments and events and situations.
Yeah, yeah.
And they usually add up to something.
Yes.
So there must have been something occurred,
mm-hmm.
whether it was, behavior at a meeting or challenging somebody or somebody is maybe jealous of their position.
Right, exactly.
And this is very common in dictatorial and just disjointed companies
where
they eat their young and employees are pitted against each other.
It's so true.
And so, I'd offered, you know, I will offer to give the writer my book.
Oh, that's awesome!
And I can arrange through Deb to get one to him through you, if that's okay.
Oh, you're so sweet! Awesome! No, that's great. I will text back this individual, and I will set him up with some of this information, and then I'll contact you and your PR person, so we can. That's so kind of you to reach out and you know, help out Cliff, who emailed us here.
Well, that's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing.
You're good. You're good. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, a return guest who is amazing in helping individuals deal with bullying in the workplace. He was on the show almost a year ago, exactly a year ago, with a book called The Bully's Trap. There's another new book out we're talking about. It's called From Bully to Bullseye. Move your organization out of the line of fire because, you know, hopefully, people like Andrew and some of those other organizations are going to get you in trouble. Wells Fargo, Volkswagen, Amazon. You're going to get busted if you don't. Because
you know, it's not just a matter of being busted.
Right.
You know, it's and a lot of people, you know, say, well, we should be boycotting these organizations. And, you know, my reaction to that is, well, wait a minute. You know, if you boycott those organizations, you know, who do you impact most?
Well, exactly. That's exactly
right.
The employees. the people who are working so hard, yeah.
So I, I work on the premise that, you know, that, you know, the best thing we could do for these organizations is help them.
Exactly.
So that that they win back the loyalty and trust of employees and customers.
Yeah, that's
You know, it's good that, you know, these companies have been exposed.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
It from my perspective, you know, it helped immensely in having those kind of discussions with executives.
Exactly.
You know, when I ask them, okay, what keeps you up at night?
That's right.
And you know, is there anything going on in your organization that you wouldn't want to see splashed in on the front page of the New York Times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do you know? And are your people telling you what you need to know?
Right.
Or hear?
Right, exactly.
And if you have a culture of fear, you're not going to hear it.
No.
And you could have engagement surveys coming out of the yin-yang.
Yeah.
And whistleblower hotlines.
Exactly.
And robust employee feedback mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if there's a culture of fear... Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear it.
It's really true. So it's really tough. And that's what you do in helping to change awareness for people as well. You know, one of my favorite parts of your book as well is the end where you're talking about overcoming being a bully. Advice to the bully. You know, how can you suggest to others? And I know you have 11 amazing suggestions with details here. We have a little bit of time left. So what I'd like for you to do, if you can, for us, Andrew, that'd be awesome, to, you know, offer some of the suggestions that you have to people who are being bullied or have been bullied in the workplace. How to deal with it?
Well, the first step is acknowledging
that
you could or you are a bully. And again, I've got a unique perspective is that, you know, if somebody hit me over the head with a 2x4, let me know.
Right.
And again, I appreciate the fact that that happened.
Yeah.
But the key is no different than I talked about a bit earlier in terms of applying what we learned in mm-hmm. kindergarten.
Yeah.
And to do that, and this is the work that we're doing with Yale, is getting really into how people feel.
Yes, exactly.
About what's going on,
right?
And you know, that is a tough slug. You know, if you do it individually,
yeah,
and
it is.
And when I was called out the advice that my mentor gave me was just go out and make sure that people are comfortable telling the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And through that, they'll get to know you. You'll get to know them, how they feel. Mm-hmm. They'll get to know how you feel, what
right.
your expectations are, and what you have to do to help them meet the expectations that you have of them.
Right.
And, you know, it's pretty you know, although it's a grueling process.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Basic process.
Yes.
And people say, well, I don't have time. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, what, then, why are you called a manager?
Well, exactly.
You don't have time to manage.
Right.
if you don't spend 80% of your time making sure that the right people are doing the right things the right way at the right time, then you really got to call into question what the hell you're doing there.
That's for sure. You absolutely do.
And,
introspect and figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, we're just about out of time here, Andrew. And as always, you've been a great, great guest and mentor. And you're wonderful in helping people in the workplace, you know, cope with, and also organizations cope with, you know, toxic environments and how to be better management corporations and employees as well. By the way, his latest book, From Bully to Bullseye, Move Your Organization Out of the Line of Fire, Andrew Foss. What's the best way people can find out more about you, Andrew, and pick up your latest book and all your books, for that matter?
Yes, on my website, where they can connect to my blog and to Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And the blog is, or sorry, the website is www.andrewfoss.com, and that's FAAS.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. That's the easiest way to do it, and you can order his books, find out more about how you can get help. And this book is a really, really good read because it will lay out everything. Also, how to deal with things psychologically, you know, if you're in the line of fire as an employee. Andrew, as always, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Michelle. It was wonderful being back on, and look forward to being on again.
Yes, you got it. Me too. Take good care. Thanks again.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, don't forget that this show will be up in the archives as of today, but we're going to be letting you know how you can get a hold of Andrew's books as well right here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And, you know, by the way, I was just reading some of those other tools that you can do, as Andrew said, is, you know, if you are being bullied in the workplace or feel awkward or, you know, just like Cliff had written in, don't understand what's going on in your workplace or your culture, don't deal with these things alone. You know, talk to someone who's close to you about it. This is nothing for you to be ashamed of. And you need to build your sense of self. You need to accept the fact that the bully wants to break you. So don't succumb to it. You know, don't let it take over your life. You know, understand who you are and what you have to offer. Empower yourself. Also, don't become a bully who's targeted by another bully. What we do sometimes, as Andrew said, is we project our own stuff onto other people because it helps us, you know, cope with the stress. Don't do that. And, you know, understand what motivates the bullying. You get into the psychology of why someone is like they are. Is it the culture of the company, or is it because they have low self-esteem and they need to project that onto you? They're narcissistic, whatever. They have a sense of, you know, if they bully other people, then that makes them feel better about who they are and gives them control over others and their life, you know. Don't forget also, it's important to keep a detailed diary of what you're going through. This is also helpful, you know, when you're dealing with HR or if you have a law situation, a legal situation, and it's, you know, amounted to that, it's getting worse. And don't fall into the bully's trap. You know, they try to discredit their targets. And just be aware of some of the things that go on in terms of, you know, criticisms of deteriorating performance, poor attitude, poor people skills, that kind of thing. Be aware of those things. Don't get set up. And do call the bully on it. And, of course, you have HR, you know, you can work with. They're usually in favor of management because they, too, are being paid. But that's what they are there for. And always get professional help. That's what I always say. You know, see a therapist. See someone who specializes in stress management or understands organizational cultures. in psychology. And, of course, you can help start the revolution for change. Start the revolution as a bullied employee. You know, when you control or stop a situation, you're in a powerful position to change it. And, of course, you have to be careful against anger and indignation. But, you know, you can go through proper channels in order to, you know, let other people know about what's going on, you know, in a company through your experiences. All right, just some great ideas. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I really had fun being on the couch with you guys today. Thank you so much for all of your emails. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Would love feedback from you about this and other shows. And, of course, the show will be up to listen to, replay, or download if you have any questions. Next week, we're going to talk about major depression. We all have it. You know, you don't have to have a diagnosis. We have good days and bad days and really bad days. So how to deal with that? Thanks for listening, guys. Take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye now. Flashing red.